Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. We'll try to do this quickly. The Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 3, verse 21, it says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And the voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased. Verse 21, it says that while he prayed, the heaven was opened. This morning, I just want to, the title of my message is Operating Under Open Heavens. Operating Under Open Heavens. But I'll be taking it from another perspective, not necessarily how you expect it. But this morning, I just want to conclude our theme of the month, which has been titled Open Heavens. You know, the truth of the matter is that I believe that the fast and the prayers this month has opened the heavens over this church. Both in the spiritual realm, also in the financial, material, and all areas. I believe that even as God has opened the realm over our life, my Pastor Sumisha and myself, that we are the first fruits of what's going to happen in the church. Just during this week, a certain lady called us and just gave us a testimony saying that, you know, she needed about 1,400 to do something, to pay for something. And she didn't know where she was going to get it from. And her parents in Nigeria, they knew about it. So one of our uncles happened to go there. I don't think they told them the amount or told them. They just shared this person needs to, there are one or two issues that need to be sorted out, you know, the way parents talk and all that sort of thing. And her uncle called from Nigeria, left a message on her mobile phone saying that, I like uncles like that, actually. I was going to say that I need to check whether we are related one way or the other. That person might be my uncle. But the uncle called from Nigeria, left a message on her phone saying that, can you call me back? And when she called back, the uncle said, can you give me your account details? I need to wire some money into your account. She did not go asking. She did not go looking. But I believe that it's an indication of the heavens that have been opened in the name of Jesus. And you see, we have spent some time talking about what happens when the heavens over you are open. We did that during the first Sunday that I spoke about when I said, when the heavens open. If you remember, I mentioned that there's protection. God will, what God has said he will do concerning your life, he will bring it to pass, amongst other things. And I also spoke about some of the things we can do that will cause us to prosper during famine. We spent the last 2 weeks talking about that, the fact that you need to be planted, you need to listen, hear God. And last week, interestingly enough, I was talking about the things or the areas where you need to sow. The fact that, you know, during famine you sow. You sow your time, you sow your talents, amongst other things. And you see, when you prosper when there's a famine, that is usually an indication that the heavens over you are open. For those that study the life of Jesus, you may have noticed that Jesus operated under open heavens throughout his lifetime on earth. Throughout his time on earth, the heavens over his life were open. On two occasions, in fact, there was an audible voice that endorsed Jesus. Once were during the baptism, the second time during the transfiguration. There was an endorsement saying that this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And that indicates to me that if Jesus is the landmark, the person we try to emulate, then that makes me to understand that the way God wants us to operate in our life is for the heavens of our life to be open all the time. Amen. Am I speaking to somebody? You find out that during the when Jesus was alive, or on earth rather, that his life was one that pleased his Father. That the heavens opened over him. There was constant communication between him and God. In fact, in the book of John, chapter 4, 34, the Bible says something. It said that my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish the work. So it was indicating that, look, all I focus upon, my food, what I depend upon, is just to please God, to do. And you see, because he had that in him, because he had a hunger, a desire to please God, the heavens over him was opened all the time because every action he took was based on what God told him to do. Am I speaking to someone this morning? In the book of John, chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus said something as well. He said, I can of myself do nothing. That's saying that I don't go around doing things on my own. It went on to say that as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So as he was seeking God's will, because his will was to seek the will of God, what was happening? God was communicating with him on a regular basis. The heavens over his life was open. Am I speaking to you this morning? And his desire was to obey God, was to please God. He constantly heard from God and carried out the instructions. And listen to me, hearing from God is one of the hallmarks of a Christian whose heaven is open. You see, when your heaven, when the heavens over you, when they are open, you will hear from God. In fact, you need to constantly hear from God. It's an indication. You see, when a person's heaven is closed, that person is unable to hear from God. I would like to put it this way, that one of the most dangerous places or positions to be in as a Christian is to be unable to hear from God. Because the fact that you are a Christian, that means that you have an enemy, the devil, already. You don't have to look for it, you don't have to believe it, but you do have it as your enemy. And if you have an enemy, but you don't have God, who's the master strategist to tell you what to do, where to go, and reveal things to you, then you are in a dangerous position because basically you are fighting an unseen enemy, but the God that will reveal to you the things that you need to do, you are not communicating with them. It's like a soldier that is at war and is not communicating with the generals, but is out there on his own. Listen to me. The Bible says in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Let's look at it quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Are you there? The Bible says that now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And notice that it says, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. It says the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. Get this. Eli was a priest. And in those days, one of the roles of the priest was to seek God's face on behalf of the people, on behalf of the nation. One of the roles of the priest was to instruct the nation about what God was saying. Now, if the Bible was saying that the word of God was rare in those days and there was no widespread revelation, then it means that the priest, something had happened to the priest that was meant to be revealing the word of God. Am I speaking to you this morning? Now, if you go through the Bible, you find various occasions where people sought the advice of priests that what is God saying? Now, get this. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, just make a note of it, time will not permit us to turn there. The Bible refers to us as priests. It says we are a royal priesthood. So that means that each person here is a priest. Now, get this. We said earlier that the role of a priest was to hear from God and to instruct the people, the nation, which means one of your roles as a Christian, as a priest, is to be able to hear from God and to know what God is saying and give you direction. Amen? Amen. So one of your roles is to hear from God concerning your life, concerning your family, concerning your ministry, concerning your church, concerning the nation. Now, when a person does not hear from God, it means that they are not functioning in their priestly role. And when they are not functioning in their priestly role, it might be, or it may be an indication that the heaven over them has closed. You see, the truth of the matter is that God uses people, uses situations to speak to us. Amen? However, your hearing, let me use an example. If I were to come here and start speaking in French, you can hear me, but you will not understand. A lot of people will not understand what I'm saying. Now, sometimes some people hear, but they don't understand. Your hearing is not complete until you understand what is being said. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about some of the indications. And why am I sharing this? Because so you can use it as a barometer over your life, concerning your life, that in this area of my life, is the heaven open or is it closed? Amen? You know, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 21, Jeremiah spoke about a group of people that had eyes and did not see. They had ears and they were not hearing. Isaiah 6, verse 9, it says something. It says that, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Which means that you can hear and not understand. I don't know if you this has ever happened to you before, whereby you read the Bible and you read some scriptures and you don't understand it. And sometimes, you know, God is trying to speak something to you concerning that scripture, but it's just not getting in. Now, sometimes, and I use the word sometimes it's an indication that the heavens have closed over that person in certain areas. I pray that you shall begin to hear God in every area of your life in the name of Jesus. That where you have been dull of hearing, that your ears shall become open in the name of Jesus. This morning, I command your spiritual ears to be open from today. I speak Ephatha, be opened in the mighty name of Jesus. No longer shall you be dull of hearing in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that you shall hear a word telling you which way to go, which way to turn, whether to the right or to the left. You shall hear the direction, specific instructions from God concerning your life in the mighty name of Jesus. You see, when the person stops hearing from God, the heavens have closed. Another indication of a closed heaven is when there is no fruit or productivity in a person's life. Listen to me. Productivity or fruit is an indication that God is blessing the works of your hands. It is an indication that your efforts, God is putting his blessing upon your efforts. Now, if you look at Haggai chapter 1, the book of Haggai, are you there? In verse 6, it says, I pray this will not be your portion in Jesus' name. It says there, it says, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. My goodness. That is like a curse. And then, you know, it's amazing because if you look at verse 9, this is the Lord speaking. He says, you look for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? It says the Lord of hosts. And then verse 10, it says, therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. You see, when somebody works hard, and the fruit they get out of the work they are doing, the effort they are doing. Now, you see, there are seasons in people's lives. So there are times that you are working hard, but it's to develop some things in life, some discipline. But if that has been ongoing for a long time, whereby you're working hard and the fruit coming out is not commensurate with the effort you are putting in, it might just be an indication that the heavens have closed. You see, when you look at that scripture, it says something. It says you have so much and bring in little. Now, what does that mean? It means that the seed that has been sown is just bringing a little bit of fruit. So one might sow 1,000 seeds, and then the fruit that comes forth from that is 5. It says that the food eaten will not be enough. And then when it says that the wages earned will be like putting it in a bag of holes, that is scary. Am I making sense? Listen to me. Verse 10 says something. It says that the heavens above you, not you, but it talks about the person whose their heaven is closed. It says the heaven withholds the dew, and the earth withholds its fruits. Which means that it's not that there's no dew. It's not that there's no fruit, but it has been withheld. What will cause it to be withheld? Because the heavens have been closed. You see, let me just explain something. When there is no dew, you need to understand that the dew refreshes and softens the ground. When there is no dew, the ground is hard. When there is no dew, the seed that is put in there, it dries up. When there is no dew, the vegetation perishes. You see, dew is, in the Bible, it's a source of great fertility. And the lack of dew is usually an indication that God has, because it's God that gives dew. So when there's no dew, there's no refreshing of the ground. It means that God has withheld it. Listen to me. If you go outside, usually when you wake up in the morning and you step outside, there's dew on the grass. But if you now put something above, the dew cannot get to the ground. Why? Because something has closed. Am I making sense? Now, listen to me. When there is no dew and the earth withholds its fruit, what happens? Life becomes a struggle. Everything is hard. You know, there are sometimes you hear about some people. For everything that they get, they sweat and fight. Everything, oh. Everything that it's like everything is like with sweat like blood. And the result is not really commensurate with the effort. There's a lack, there's a dryness. In the name of Jesus, I pray that God will have mercy upon you and cause the dew to begin to fall on you in Jesus' name. I pray where the earth has withheld its fruit over your life, that the places where you have sown and the fruit has not come forth, that there shall be a release of the fruits in your life in the name of Jesus. I pray today that in the mighty name of Jesus, that the seeds that you have sown that have dried up due to the lack of dew. Listen to me, I was saying that when there's no dew, the seed dries up. I pray that the seed that has dried up, that is not meant to dry up, that has dried up due to the lack of dew, it will begin to germinate in the name of Jesus. And it will bring forth the fruits that it should bring forth in the mighty name of Jesus. Another indication of a closed heaven is when there's stagnation in a person's life. You know, what do you mean by stagnation? When nothing is flowing. Stagnation is when you cannot go forward and you cannot go backwards. Stagnation is you don't know where your right is or to your left is. Stagnation is when there's confusion. Where do I go? There's movement. So you are moving, but there's no progress. You know, you can be moving. You think you are moving. The Bible talks about the Israelites in Deuteronomy 1. It says that they said, God spoke to them, you have circled around this mountain for too long. What does that mean? It means there was movement, but they were not going anywhere. And sometimes people don't even realize that there's no progress because they are moving. So they are moving, but it's not forward. And it's like it's just going around in circles and going back to the same thing over and over again. Listen to me. Sometimes that is an indication of a closed heaven. When there's stagnation, it's like the destiny of that person, it seems to be at a standstill. You know, the Bible talks about a certain man. Let's look at it quickly. In the book of John chapter 5. John chapter 5. From verse 1. It talks about a certain man. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Verse 5. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Some people here are not even 38 yet. Well, quite a number of people. Maybe I should say us. Oh, we had my 40th birthday the other day. Now, the Bible says that for 38 years, he had been carrying an infirmity. Now, we are not given an indication of the man's age. But if we were to look at it in sort of the time we live in, you could almost say that for most of his adult life, he had been in that condition. He must have had that condition for the better part of his adult life. This man's destiny was in a state of stagnation. His life was at a standstill. And you know, when there's stagnation, it's difficult to plan. Am I speaking to someone? You see, stagnation is usually an indication, and I use the word usually, because sometimes God might cause you to take a break, or he's trying to teach you certain things. So sometimes you might be in a place of training, or it might be a place that you need to hear God and stay still. But usually, stagnation, when it's been ongoing for some time, is usually an indication of a closed heaven. I remember some years ago, when my visa was about to expire, and then I was working for some organization in Cardiff then, and my employers applied for a work permit on my behalf. Now, the work permit was refused, so I had to leave my job then. And to make things worse, they said I left my job because they didn't approve the work permit. And then the letter they sent, after they refused it, they said I should leave the country within some weeks. Now, because my wife and I were already planning our wedding at that stage, I felt at that point in time, either through knowledge, wisdom, or whichever way you want to call it, but I felt at that time that I should not leave at that point in time. And because we were already planning to get married, we were planning our wedding before it came for the whatever. So anyway, we went on and I remained in the country. And after I got married, I reapplied for a visa. Now listen to me. It took about, I think, 2 years for the visa to come out of the Home Office. Once the thing entered that place, it took another 2 years for it to come out. Now, during that period, I could not plan. Because I didn't know whether I would be going back, whether we would be going back to Nigeria or staying in this country. We could not move forward, we could not really do as in plan ahead. Is this making sense? It was like our life was at a standstill. And you know, when your life is at a standstill, in fact, I could not go out of the country. I could not say that, let us go on holiday. The only holiday we could have was within the UK. You had to be careful to cross the border of Scotland, just in case. We felt constrained and restrained. Why? And there was stagnation. You see, when there's stagnation, it's like you are chained. Your feet are chained together. It's like they are fastened with yoke. And you cannot move forward. You cannot move back. And there's... Am I speaking to somebody? I'm sure somebody understands what I mean. You see, listen to me. Sometimes it's... And I use the word sometimes. Sometimes it's an indication of a closed heaven. You see... The Bible says in John 5, 6, it says that this man that had an infirmity for 38 years, it says when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time. Now, if the Bible says that Jesus saw and knew he had been there a long time, you can be certain that it's been there a long time. Now, the condition that man had was not just a case that he could not move, but he had to depend on people to carry him again. And there are some people here, because of the condition around you, you have to depend on people to carry you or support you. And sometimes that indicates that, hey, the heavens have been closed. But the Bible says something. It says that Jesus saw him lying there and he knew that he had been there a long time. He said to him, do you want to be made well? It's amazing because Jesus was passing and he noticed that man. Listen to me. The Bible says that there were many blind. It says in verse 3, it says a great multitude of sick people. It says blind, lame, paralyzed. So there were many of them. When it says a great multitude, out of that multitude, Jesus noticed this man that had an infirmity of 38 years. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that Jesus will pick you out in the multitude in Jesus' name. I pray that Jesus will notice areas of your life where there has been stagnation. And in the mighty name of Jesus, he will speak to you and pick you out and say, do you want to be made well? In the name of Jesus. I pray that there shall be a stirring in the heavenly realm today. That there shall be a stirring in the heavenly realm concerning the stagnant areas of your life. That where you have been chained, those chains will be broken. In the mighty name of Jesus. I declare over you right now that you shall begin to make progress. No longer shall it be movement without progress, but there shall be progress in your life in the name of Jesus. He says, Jesus noticed. In the name of Jesus, he will notice you. Jesus is here this morning. He will notice you. He's already picking some people out right now. He's already picking some people out right now. Your file will be brought out from the pile in the name of Jesus. From the bottom of the pile, they will bring it out. Even though yours was the last to come in, yours will be the first to go out in the mighty name of Jesus. In fact, I pray for those that have immigration status in this place. For those that have immigration status, where God wants you to be in this country, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that your case shall be different. That where the Home Office is using some criteria, they will overlook those areas where you do not qualify. In the name of Jesus. We pray release right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Another indication of a closed heaven is where there has been a loss of anointing or ministry in a person's life. You know, the Bible talks about a certain gentleman, because of time, we won't bother to turn there. But you know the story. The Bible talks about the life or in the book of Judges from chapters 13 to 16. The Bible talks about the life of Samson. And if you study the life of Samson, there's no doubt that Samson was anointed. You cannot even argue the case. He was anointed. In fact, his anointing was so that before he was born, his purpose was declared to his parents. His anointing was so that he was set apart from others. It was, in his time, it was an unusual type of anointing. It wasn't the anointing for the general populace. It was a special kind of anointing that was meant to break yokes, deliver a whole nation. Am I speaking to somebody? His anointing was obvious for all to see. And you see, you couldn't debate that the power of God was upon him. Because the Bible says, in fact, the Bible says that the Spirit of God came upon him on a couple of occasions. Now, this same man that was very strong, that killed Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. This same person, in the book of Judges chapter 16, let's look at it quickly. This same person was subdued by a woman. In fact, some men need to begin to pray that every Delilah that may be in their life. I'm serious. Because God, you see, people that are anointed, that are picked by God, the enemy sends agents to them to bring them down. For some of them, they will never discover their destiny. Why? Because, you see, a lot of times before you were born, your destiny had already been written and, you know, planned. Your purpose, your anointing. And for a lot of people, that's why a lot of times the enemy is messing up with children, with the youth, messing up their lives, messing up the next generation. But let's look at this quickly. In Judges chapter 16, from verse 19, the Bible says something. It says, okay, let me read from 18. It says, when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, be careful who you tell everything. She sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. Verse 20, and she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Man, that is sad. He says that this same person that was anointed, that had a lot of strength, because he fell into sin, the anointing departed from him. Listen to me. When the Lord departed, the Bible says he did not know the Lord had departed. The minute God departed, the anointing departed with God. The minute the Lord departed, the strength he had left. You see, it's a terrible thing for an anointed person to lose their anointing. A loss of anointing, and when I talk about anointing, I don't mean, you see, anointing is not just for preaching. Anointing, a certain gentleman puts it this way, he says, the unction to function. It is what makes you able to do what the things God has called you to do. So if there are certain things that you used to be able to do and you are no longer able to do it, it might just be an indication that the anointing has been lost for some reason. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? You see, a loss of anointing is a loss of vision. It is a loss of position. When a person loses the anointing, they lose the position they had. When a person loses the anointing, they lose the grace of God upon their life. When a person loses anointing, they lose the favor of God. You know, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, The Bible talks about something. It says that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Notice that Saul was anointed to be king. But then it says that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. Listen to me. From that day onwards, when the Spirit of God departed from Saul, Saul did not have any peace. From that day, his peace was gone. He was consumed with envy and resentment from that day onwards. It was after that I started chasing David all over the place. Am I speaking to somebody? Am I making sense? You see, the reason why Saul was chasing David all over the place is because he had lost his anointing and he envied the anointing upon the life of David. You see, it is only a person that has lost their ministry or their anointing that is envious of somebody else that has theirs. The heavens over the life of Saul closed when the Spirit of God departed from him. Listen to me, what made it depart? Because of disobedience. Disobedience. You know, I was talking about stagnation. You know, Jonah, we know Jonah. Jonah was disobedient, and he entered into 3 days of stagnation. Because of, you see, sometimes when, especially people that, and I wish there was a way I could explain the anointing more. Let me use an example. You know, there are some people that, when they do business, whatever business, it prospers. They just have an anointing for business. There are some people, inventions, you know, they invent things. They have an anointing. Everything they invent, it just. Some people have an anointing. I have a friend that he has an apostolic anointing. He's able to come into a place of disarray, as in an organization or whatever the case may be, and put structure, serious structure. You know, he has an anointing in that area. Now, I'm explaining this so that you can understand what I mean by anointing. I mean, this gentleman is anointed to play the keyboards. Now, when you are anointed in a specific area, and then things that you used to do or were able to do, and all of a sudden it's as if you can't do it anymore, or you are still doing it, but you are not getting the results, it could be, and I use the word could, it could be an indication of a closed heaven. And listen to this. God will sometimes remove the anointing when we are not doing what we are meant to do with the thing he has given us. God will sometimes remove the anointing from the life of Saul because he gave Saul instructions. Kill the Amalekites. Don't spare anyone. But he did not do what God told him to do. And what happened? The anointing was removed. So sometimes disobedience will cause, you see, every time God anoints us for a purpose, it is to, and I'll use the word, further his kingdom one way or the other. Now, it doesn't mean you sitting down to preach, but that the glory may be to him. Now, if you begin to take the glory for yourself or begin to use it for yourself or for your edification, then he will, because he will not share his glory with anyone. Am I making sense? This morning I pray that for those of you that may have lost your anointing, that you may have lost your ministry, that you may have lost your calling, I pray that as you repent this morning, that your hair will begin to grow back in the name of Jesus. I pray over your life that there will be a restoration of the anointing upon your life in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that everything that has been removed, that God will have mercy and restore it back to you in the name of Jesus. And if it is the enemy that has removed it, over everything that the locusts, the caterpillars, The cankerworms may have eaten. In the mighty name of Jesus, you shall get it back in the name of Jesus. I declare over you, the Bible says in the first book, in 1 Samuel 30, it says that David recovered all. In the name of Jesus, you will recover all. In the name of Jesus. All that you have lost, according to the will of God, everything that God has given you, that you have lost, that the enemy has stolen, in the mighty name of Jesus, it shall be restored back to you. In Jesus' name. Please be seated. We'll finish in a few minutes. We'll finish in a few minutes. You know, I've spoken that the heavens may be closed. But you see, there are also certain things that can be done to provoke it to be opened. And we'll just quickly touch on that. Very, very simple. I've touched on it more or less. But I just want to highlight it. If you look at Luke chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible says something. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. The Bible says something. It says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And it says, and while he prayed, notice that. It says, while he prayed, the heaven was opened. Prayer can cause the heavens to be opened over your life. Now, get this. I'm not just talking about the religious prayer that a lot of people pray, the functional prayer that we pray. I'm talking about sincere. You see, when you go to God with a sincere heart in prayer, it will cause the heavens to be opened over your life. You know, in the Bible, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Bible says something. It says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, it says something, and turn from their wicked ways, it says that I will hear from heaven. It says that means that the heavens will be opened again. He says, I will hear from heaven, and says that forgive their sins and heal their land. Get this. He says, he then goes on to say, my eyes will be open. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? He says, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers made in this place. Listen to me. When you go to God with a sincere heart, in prayer, and humble yourself before him, you can be certain that the heavens over your life will open. So that's one of the first thing that will provoke the opening of the heavens. The second thing, and like I said, we've talked on the obedience. And I'll try to close in a few minutes. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. It says something there. It says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And then in verse 12, it goes on to now start talking about, it says the Lord will open to you his good treasure. What caused God to open his good treasure? It is the obedience from verse 1. And then it says that the heavens to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations and you shall not borrow. So obedience will cause the heavens to be open. And then the third thing, I spoke about this last week, so I'm not going to dwell on it. Sowing. When you sow, now listen to me. When I talk about sowing, I'm not just talking about money, for those that were not here last week. Sowing your time, sowing your talent. You know, there's a lady that does this. Sometimes people think that I cannot sow time or what can I? There's or because they've just given birth. There's a lady that does the projector. Now, sometimes I'm watching her. She's doing the projector. She has her baby with her. She's feeding the baby and she's sowing her time. She could easily have sat down and thought that let my baby grow up to 1 year, 2 years. Let him be weaned. You know, some people go on maternity, 5 years, we don't see them. Until baby starts school, they don't come back to the work. But sowing causes the heavens over your life to be open. Listen to me, let me just share this and I'll end. When you sow your time into God's kingdom, God himself will do the work for you. I've shared this before. For many years, well, maybe 3, 4 years, or 5 years, my wife and I, we were trying for a baby. After we had our first child, we were trying for our second child for about 4, 5 years or thereabouts. Now, we were serving in a church in London, and we were doing God's work, but we were sowing. But then, remember that the Bible says that Isaac sowed in the land where he was meant to be planted. And then, we came to start the church based on, first of all, the instructions from our pastor, and then we went to pray, and God spoke to us, and we felt, yes, God was saying that we should come here and start a church. And we came to start the church. At that stage, we were no longer thinking about the baby. Get this? We were no longer praying or bothering about it because we had tried so many things, as in fasting, praying, doing everything to turn the hand of God. But when we were not thinking about it, because we were planted in the land, am I making sense? We were planted in the land where we were meant to be, and we were sowing our time into the kingdom of God. The thing that we were looking for initially, God himself brought it back that we had forgotten about. Am I making sense? You see, when you sow, God will cause the heavens over your life to be open. And let's rise up and begin to pray right now.